I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. I'm here today with Roger Grimes, Data-Driven Defense Evangelist for KnowBefore, the world's first and largest new school security awareness training and simulated phishing platform that helps you manage the ongoing problem of social engineering. To learn more about KnowBefore, visit knowbefore.com. Roger, welcome. Always great to have you back with us today.
Always glad to be talking to you.
So Roger, this morning I read an article in Motherboard by Vice about a new hostage-style Bitcoin video scam that's spreading across Instagram. And how the scam works is that victims are forced to film a kind of get-rich-quick style video of themselves to try to get their money back or their Instagram account back that's been taken over, compromised, etc. I actually have an example of one of these videos queued up. So before we dive in, let's take a quick listen to this woman's hostage-style video. Her name's Emma Zoller, and who she's about to thank for helping her get rich quick. Ashley, keep in mind, that's not actually her friend. That's the person who's scamming her.
Hey guys, I just got home from a long day of work, but Ashley just helped me invest $1,000 and got me back $8,500. What an amazing way end the day, and I feel so blessed and so appreciative of this process. It's guaranteed. I suggest doing it. It happened for me in under an hour. So yeah, thanks, Ashley.
All right. So you can kind of tell from her voice, she doesn't sound super enthusiastic. She definitely, to me, maybe it's just the context of knowing, but she sounds like someone who is being forced to film that, not like a typical Instagram influencer you hear and see. But it, you know, in addition to what she just shared and how she had to end up doing that, basically, is that her friend's account was hacked and they sent her a link and she clicked on it and it was like they're spoofing legitimate Instagram pages. So I guess, Roger, what's going on here?
Yeah, let me first say, what's wrong with these people that are knowingly participating further in the scam? Do you not have any morality? Like, oh, maybe my friends will get that I'm faking it. This is wrong. It's criminal. You cannot legally, or you should not ethically, participate in the furtherance of a scam. What's right. wrong with these people? They're broken, but okay. let me put this to the side of things. They're very desperate. And let me say, I've actually been contacted by people telling me about this lately. You know, I even had a young girl in a high school. I did a presentation at a high school last week, and a young girl came up to me and told me about one of her friends being in a similar situation. And, you know, could I help them? I get contacted about once a week for someone that wants me to break into their stolen Facebook, Instagram, Twitter account or whatever, because I wrote Hacking the Hacker.
Yep.
I'm sorry. Well, I did write Hacking the Hacker, but Hacking Multi-Factor Authentication.
Right.
And, you know, so they want me to hack into the account and take it over control. And they're very upset when I tell them that I can't, that I'm not, you know, as an ethical hacker, try to be ethical overall, I can't hack into their account. It's not their account to give me permission to hack into, even though it was stolen by a hacker. It's owned by Instagram or Facebook. And that's maybe the bigger lesson here, is just realize that you can lose access to any of your accounts in an instance. It's not your account. You know, and I've had people calling me and say, listen, all my photos are on there. My business is on there. My photos of my father who died recently is on there. It's not your stuff. Anything in the cloud is somebody else's computer, and you can lose access to that account for a lot of reasons, not only hackers, but because of unintentionally violating some law or rule. And you have, in many cases, no recourse to get that information back. I've had people, hackers trying to harm me, attack companies that then killed my account. And I never got those accounts back, even though I did nothing wrong. But, you know, so overall, people should realize that if you really care about what you're posting, you know, these pictures or whatever, you need to back them up locally, you know, locally on some offline removable media so that an attacker can't get to them. And that's lesson number one. Lesson number two is that eventually all of these start with social engineering the same way that they've always occurred. And everybody needs to learn kind of the five signs of any social engineering attack, which is message arrives unexpectedly, right? So you're not, someone didn't tell you, hey, you know, I'm sending you a message. Mm. Number two, the message is asking the victim to do something the sender has never asked them to do before. Number three, the action if performed could be harmful. Number four is that it includes a potentially malicious file attachment or URL. And number five, tries to create a sense of immediate urgency or appeals to greed. So if you see those signs, like, you know, it's unexpected, it's asking you to do something the sender never asked you to do before, if doing it could be harmful to you, and especially if it contains a link or a file attachment, I mean, those are really heavy, heavy signs of social engineering. And anytime you get those things, you need to really slow down and say, you know, how could she have prevented this? By calling her friend.
Right.
By, you know, texting her friend. By, you know, you need to just have this healthy level of skepticism that the internet is not a safe place, you know, that you need to treat any unexpected request for an action that could harm your interest with skepticism until you prove otherwise. Let me say, like, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and I may have talked on this show already, I got a request, a legitimate request from Facebook to update my trusted contacts list. And the email had a lot of, it was unexpected. It was asking me to do something to potentially harm myself. It contained a link. You know, it had an appeal to, hey, you need to change this because you could lose access to your account one day if you don't. It even, when I looked at the address that was in the email, it was one hacker, no, it was one Facebook way or one Manolo way, something like that. When I looked it up, that was not their actual address. And when I submitted this email to all kinds of phishing experts, half of them said, this is a fake email. Ultimately, through a lot of research, I determined it was a legitimate email, even uh-huh. though it was interesting. One of my other things is, hey, if you don't, like, if Facebook is asking you to do something, go to Facebook. And if, you know, if it's real, if you go to Facebook.com, they should still be asking you to do the same thing. Well, they weren't. When I went into Facebook.com on my normal account, they were not asking me to update my trusted contacts. When I went to my trusted contacts feature set on Facebook, it didn't ask me to verify them or update them. It was this random email that I've never gotten before. And I researched it for, unfortunately, probably hours, but ultimately came away with realizing that it was probably legitimate. And you know what? I still didn't do it. I still didn't click on it.
Yeah.
That you just can't trust these things. There's too many scammers. I think this is kind of new, what I'm hearing. I've heard of the give me nudes or I'll repost stuff, right? You just have these terrible people and they're just these dangerous, depraved lunatics that I think should be put in prison for a long, long time, if not beat up and then put into prison.
Yeah.
And maybe their nudes taken and passed around the internet. See how they like it. But so we can all laugh at them. But it's a terrible thing. But I would, you know, and let me say, influencers are under attack more and more. They are being targeted by even Russian nation state attackers. So influencers now have tens of thousands to millions of followers. And if a spammer, phisher, or hacker can get access to that account, they can then send out their spoofing thing to a wider range of audience that is more likely to click it, such as is happening in this case. So they're under attack. And what I find sad is that many of these sites, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, now are spending millions of dollars helping an influencer be a bigger, better influencer and to get a wider audience. Like, they have professional media advisors, Hollywood people telling them how to, you know, to better frame the video, what types of topics, people that, you know, they look at the results of particular videos the influencers did to see which ones are generating more traffic. So they're spending millions, hundreds of millions, potentially billions, trying to make these influencers have a greater influence.
Right.
Wow. Can't we just spend 5% of that to teach these influencers how to better protect themselves? Right. Like, it's known that you're an influencer, that you're going to be a higher target, more likely you're a high risk target for somebody trying to take over your account. Can we not give them good computer security counseling? That, you know, that is one of the things that we don't do, security awareness training. You know, social engineering is responsible for 70 to 90% of all attacks, at least. And yet the mitigations to fight those things don't account for 5% of IT security budgets. And it's that fundamental misalignment that has allowed hacking and malware to be so successful for so long. Well, we're just seeing this same broken thing repeated in social media influencers. We're allowing them to, you know, to broaden their ability to influence people and get more people, and not teaching them that, hey, you're going to be targeted more often and you should recognize these. Like right now, you and I are talking about this. You played a really great example of it. How many influencers are getting training to prevent that, right? By Instagram, by YouTube? Probably none. Not from the official channel. They'll be lucky if YouTube and Instagram send out a single email. Oh, an email. We've done it. We've warned these people. No, it's not enough. They need to be doing more. I feel sad for these people. I you know, they're being victimized, but you know, they're just, in a lot of cases, they're just kids, you know?
Right.
Kids trying to become an influencer selling makeup or whatever it happens to be. And, you know, they're not computer security experts, and they're not more savvy than the average computer user. And we need to change that equation. And as long as we don't, we're going to continue to see scams like this. Probably the only thing helping us here is that influencers is a very limited group, and they're, as this becomes more popular, they're going to hear about it and protect themselves a little bit better. But if you don't teach them how to avoid social engineering, they're going to continue to fall, and it's going to be continued to used against them. But this whole make a video so you can scam your followers or your friends, get ethics,
right?
I don't like it was amazing with that one clip you played. She was asked by the attacker, Ashley or whatever, to make a nude video. And she said no. And they said, okay, well, make a video that scams your friends and followers.
Right.
Okay.
No problem.
She wasn't happy about it, but she wouldn't do the nude because that hurt her.
Correct.
But she would do. So I don't understand. And I can't say I'm some super ethical person, but no one is going to force me to make a video that is then going to scam more people. And it sounds, and let me say, I hope I'm never put to the test, but I really just don't understand this mind thought. And maybe she says, well, most people see through it and they'll see I'm not as bubbly. But it's just, no, you've got to be a good human being and not continue to perpetuate these things. It's horrible.
It is horrible. And I'm glad that you called that out and made that distinction, because from what I was further reading, a lot of these quote unquote Instagram hostages have been reporting these issues to Instagram, Facebook, Meta, whomever, and they're not getting a lot of response or any contact at all. And they're complaining. They're like, how is this okay? Et cetera, et cetera. But to your point, I mean, what they've done isn't okay. And so for me, it's kind of like, well, you know what? Like, they're not helping you, but also at the same time, you're spreading this. So you're a part of it. So I don't know. Maybe that's unreasonable for me, but I think it's unreasonable for them to expect Instagram to just drop everything else that they're doing and help them get their 12,000 followers back and access to their account when they, perhaps caused others with potentially less funds, less money, whatever, to lose and be a victim.
Yeah, certainly some responsibility. Yeah, although I will say that I have for a decade been because of writing the hacking MFA and doing stuff, I frequently get contacted by people, again, that want me to hack into their, it's usually Instagram, strangely, but Facebook, Twitter, whatever accounts. And I've noticed this thing that if they did not have MFA enabled and the attacker steals the account, the attacker then enables MFA, I don't know anyone that's ever gotten that account back. It's as if all the big major social media properties did not contemplate the way for the legitimate user to get their account back.
Right.
It's not easy even without MFA involved, but when MFA is involved, it seems to be if the victim didn't use it and the attacker does, I have never heard of a single person ever getting that account back. And that seems to me that it's been happening for a long time, as long as they've offered MFA, that I'm surprised they don't have a better resolution policy. And, you know, I have all these legitimate people saying, please help me, please help me, please help me. I'm just surprised that the social media things aren't doing a better job at helping the legitimate people recover these accounts. You know, it's, first of all, it's not like you can call somebody. Have you ever tried to call, like, again, I had some hackers that once attacked Apple.com and they were spoofing my originating IP address, and Apple blocked me. You know, their IT security team responded by blocking my permanent IP address that I was using. And I was an iTunes user and everything. I was spending hundreds of dollars a month on iTunes songs and all the like. And I could no longer recover that account or get it to be unblocked. And I tried for months. I even used my column I was writing for InfoWorld at the time. I contacted a senior vice president at Apple that said they would take care of it. It never got resolved until I finally realized, oh, I can update my permanent IP address. So I called my cable company, got them to assign me a new IP address, and that solved it, which I should have done early on. But, you know, I think a lot of people are surprised that once they get into this, oh my God, my account's taken over, there is no human being to call most of the time. It's not even very easy to recover the account. And a lot of these services do, hey, I've lost my account or applied. It really doesn't work nearly as well as the social media people, social media companies must think it does, because I've never talked to anybody that's ever recovered their account, period. You know, there's a problem with that. And let me say, I've also had people spoofing being the people that lost their accounts. So they've wanted me to hack accounts, but you can just tell that they're not the owners. It's a spurned loved one or wife or hacker that's trying to get me to, you know, I'll pay you. And there are even services, if you're on the internet and say, I want to hack my Facebook account or take control, there are legitimate services that you can hire, illegitimate services that you can hire. Most of them just take your money and don't do anything, but there are some that will actually try to hack and take over those accounts for you. It's illegal. But I'm surprised that the social media companies aren't doing more, even for these, you know, certainly for these influencers, but for us all. Start with the influencers and then help us all out, because there has to be a way that a legitimate person can recover the account. Like Microsoft and Google are actually fairly good at it. And I don't know if you've ever been through the process, but like I was testing writing my hacking MFA book, I was testing the Google and Microsoft account recovery features, and they're actually fairly sophisticated. You know, some they have password or personal, what's called personal knowledge questions. Most people know them where they're like, what's your mother's maiden name?
Oh, right.
And those are horrible and you should never do them. although a lot of companies, many companies still force you to use these personal knowledge questions. When you are, you should put in fake answers. Like, what's your mother's maiden name? Dog, 321. You know, you don't put in, unfortunately, you then have to write down both the question and the answer, but that's what I do for all of them. But you don't put the real answers in there. It's just crazy. What high school did you go to? What was your favorite teacher? What's your favorite vet? You know, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
But that when you go to Google and Microsoft and you do account recovery, it actually is very sophisticated. They actually start off by trying to send a recovery code to your phone and blah, blah, blah. And most people can recover that way. But if the hacker has taken over that, it's more difficult. But what's nice about Google and Microsoft, it gets into the sophisticated questions that, like, okay, you bought a game. Which one of these addresses was your home address 10 years ago or something? Which credit card did you use to purchase your last Xbox game? You know, so they actually start going through, they've got this accumulated data about you, and they then use it as part of the recovery. And the hacker could look it up, but every question like that, like what credit card did you use to purchase your last Xbox game, that becomes an increasingly difficult question for the hacker to answer and easier for the legitimate victim to answer. And I actually went through all the questions and I kept answering them wrong, and it never stopped asking me additional questions. And it literally looked like it had to go over a particular trust threshold. But when I did, I then got my account back. And so I thought that, you know, Microsoft and Google have solved this. Facebook, Instagram, they obviously are pissing off customers. You know, I've got little girls crying to me.
Yeah.
You know, I want to, you know, because their life is that Instagram account. And I'm surprised that the companies aren't doing more to try to get back, you know, their information, get back their accounts. they should respond. They should train these people better. They should train us all better, but train the influencers better. It should be part of required training when they like, hey, we're going to give you this free training on how to be a better influencer. Step one here, we're going to talk about you protecting your account because it's a big deal for you to protect it. You know, sit here through this 30-minute video or 15-minute video. We need to share with you what the threats are. Then we'll take you through the other stuff. But that, you know, that's what's wrong with the computer security world today is we're not giving people the appropriate training for the access that they have to their computers and data and other people. So that's, I'll put it on all of them, you know, and I really, again, I do feel for these influencers where it's their life and their revenue and their income, while also being secretly jealous that a 17-year-old's making $1 million a year.
Yeah.
You know, selling makeup, that gets me. I am secretly jealous.
Well, Roger, maybe you could start selling makeup. You know, I mean, you know.
That's right. I would do a bad job at that, but.
Well, I do joke that Instagram has basically kind of become like a QVC or a home shopping network. Every time I go on there, I'm getting pretty tired of it, but I digress. A couple of things to respond to that you shared, which was, in hearing you, yes, I definitely agree that Facebook, Instagram, whomever should be doing more to help folks. They obviously are not, you know, weighing, well, this person sent out this video, so we shouldn't help them, but this little girl's account was taken over, so we should help that, you know, it shouldn't, that would be far too complicated for them. But especially to your point with the influencers, because they're profiting, you know, Instagram, whomever is profiting off of these influencers, you would think that they would want to help them stay safe in the same way, to your point, that they're helping them further monetize their accounts. So that seems pretty strange to me, that they're not thinking through that. But I guess.
And they will. I mean, they're going to be forced to, but they're just doing it late and haphazardly. And, you know, it's just, I kind of laugh every time a new paradigm comes out, right? I went from Apple PCs to DOS PCs to Windows PCs to, you know, then to mobile phones and then to social media. And everyone's like, you think that we take the lessons learned on the previous platforms and we would just apply them to the new things, but we don't. It's as if we have to relearn every bloody cut over and over again before we pull out the bandages. We seem to almost never learn any previous lesson and apply it to the future thing. It's kind of embarrassing. It's some type of indictment on humanity and the way that we tackle new things or something. I don't know. Something bigger there.
Yeah, I agree with you. And actually leads me to my next question for you, which is, do these Instagram hostage scams or what have you, do they remind you of any other scams that predate social media? I guess what I'm thinking is, you know, or getting at is, are these scams unique or are they kind of recycled or I guess perhaps upcycled versions of older types of scams that we've seen?
You know, I'll be honest with you, Hillary, I think this is unique. I've not heard of, and as you know, I've been doing computer security since like 1987.
Yeah.
I've really been around it a lot. I've seen a few of, you know, so the only thing I can liken to this hostage thing is the nude videos, but that isn't used to then compromise your friends and followers. So this is really, if it's been going on longer, and maybe it has, and it's just been very small, this is a unique type of cyber criminal crime that is, you know, I've never heard of it. Maybe it would be, I'm trying to think of that syndrome, you know, where a victim joins the attacker, the Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah, right.
I mean, but this isn't even that, right? They're not agreeing with the attacker. They're being forced to do this. I've never heard of any, I don't know. Maybe some listener can tell us that they've heard of something, but this is unique. And I often say that hacking hasn't changed in the 30 years that I've been following it. The same types of things, and this really is just social engineering, but I will say this is new. And I can't liken anything like it. And let me also say that I hope it's not that widespread. It does seem so far still anecdotal, but success breeds success.
Right.
And I can't tell if the numbers, because it's still not huge, whether this is just one group, one attacker, is it a growing theme? But, you know, I myself had somebody come up to me at a local high school. That must mean it's more widespread than we think. But does this become like the next ransomware? Yeah. You know, I don't know, but I hope ethically that more people refuse to participate in these scams. And maybe you have to just become accustomed that your Instagram account or whatever is gone forever. And that hurts, but you were involved in that happening. You're not blameless. And, you know, it may, that may, and, you know, and I wonder if an influencer has all these people, if they started a second channel with one letter off, I know that they have to rebuild their brand and stuff like that. But, you know, certainly somehow that would spread and they could recapture some significant part of the audience and rebuild again. Right. We hope these social media companies just wake up and go, hey, if your users are having to change a letter on their name and get a new account because you're not doing your job, start to do your job.
Right. Right. Because then what? They're going to clean up all those old accounts? I mean, what? Like, people are still going to be perhaps mistakenly following the hacked account. And so it's ultimately just going to make more work for the social media platform, which I know Facebook has a big ad spend because I listen to the Wall Street Journal morning podcast every morning as well. And they have like three ads about how they're taking down fake accounts throughout that 15-minute podcast. I'm like, okay, we get it. You're taking down fake accounts on the platform that you built that encouraged the creation of the fake accounts. Thank you.
Like, yeah. And let me say, it is a problem at scale. I appreciate, you know, they take down hundreds of thousands to millions of fake accounts a day.
Yeah.
It really even Microsoft revealed a stat a couple of weeks ago that something like one out of every 250 of Microsoft accounts, so Office 365 accounts, one out of every 250 accounts is compromised every month.
Wow.
Right. And that's time. Yeah. Then you multiply that by I think they have 300 million Microsoft accounts. It really is a huge problem. But again, I think that Microsoft and Google have kind of figured out the problem, how to regain access to your account. Let me say, I think this, I'm sure there could be 10 people emailing me, telling me I'm an idiot and they never got their Gmail account back, but they seem to have more sophisticated recovery mechanisms for determining whether you're legitimate or not. Like, think about what it seems to me that Microsoft and Google have done is if you were to call a human being at, let's say, Microsoft, go, hey, my account's been stolen. How would that person confirm that you are who you say you are, right? Like, how would a human being do that? Okay, is this the phone number you've had? Is, you know, ask you a couple of questions? Like, how would that human being then get confidence and trust to know that you were a legitimate user, not someone faking being you? Well, that's what they've implemented in their questions that you go through. So I think they've done this really great job, but it's amazing that the Instagram influencer program doesn't have, hey, my account's been stolen, I can't get it back, can you have someone work with me? Like, how, if they're making hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars off of an influencer, how could you not pay $50 or $100, $200, whatever it costs for that support person's time to help recover that account? It seems to me to be crazy. And then you go further and go, okay, you can't even help these influencers that are making you millions of dollars. Right. What about me? Right. What about you? Why are we having to suffer? Like, okay, solve the problems of the influencers, because they just have the most influence, and something that some fake scam on their thing is going to impact people more than if it's on my account.
Yeah.
Fix it on them and then come fix it for the rest of us. Like, we're tired of waiting. You're now legitimate properties. Wake up, be an adult, and fix the problem.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it better. Couldn't have said it better at all. Well, Roger, as always, such a fun conversation. Really fascinating with this, I guess I'm gonna call it a novel cyber attack, since that's the world we live in now. But I really enjoyed talking to you about this. So thank you so much for taking the time this morning, Roger.
Glad to, always. And good luck, everybody, and stay safe.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks, Roger.
I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining me today was Roger Grimes, data-driven defense evangelist for KnowBefore, the world's first and largest new school security awareness training and simulated phishing platform that helps you manage the ongoing problem of social engineering. To learn more about our sponsor, KnowBefore, visit knowbefore.com. And you can keep up with all of our media at cybercrimemagazine.com.